You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and with COP26 happening earlier on this year in Glasgow, there really has been a big focus on the environment in 2021. But Christmas can be a very wasteful time of year. Laura Young is a scientist and eco-activist, and she's joining me now to tell us a little bit about how we can keep our carbon footprint down over the festive period. Thank you very much for your time, Laura. So when we think about Christmas, we think about eating lots of food and drinking lots of things, presents, chocolates, decorations, and all these things are great and they're all part of the fun, but they can have an environmental impact as well, can't they?
They can. You know, Christmas time, or even just the festive period, you know, is full of loads of fun. You get to see more family and friends maybe than usual. We know that at this time of year, we can, as individuals, but also kind of collectively, be a lot more wasteful. Wasteful through our consumption, you know, lots of buying of things that maybe we don't necessarily need, overbuying a lot of the time, particularly when it comes to presents, decorations and food, and just kind of wasteful because all of this overconsumption can end up in food going off, unwanted presents, or just general stuff that we didn't need in the first place. And so Christmas time is a time to really be thinking about how we as individuals can be, you know, playing our part to still have all these amazing things, still be able to have loads and loads of fun and time with family and friends, but just doing it in a bit more of a sustainable way.
And we're not saying don't decorate your tree or don't wrap up your presents and don't do this and don't do that. It's just about having that thought in your mind of what is actually the impact on the planet going to be from this purchase that I'm getting or this present that somebody might not actually even want.
Exactly. And, you know, we're sitting, you know, the kind of week before Christmas and, you know, we've got decorations up in our house. I've bought a few gifts. They might not necessarily be things, but I've bought a few gifts for, you know, the loved ones around me. I've been on a couple of Christmas nights out and I've still enjoyed the festivities even before the big day. But it's just being a little more conscious about how we do these sorts of things. And so it's definitely not being a Scrooge, being a Grinch and taking away any of the fun, but it's just being that conscious element before doing any activity or buying anything that you might be thinking about for this season.
So you mentioned their gifts, and I'm sure we've all received gifts before that have just gone under the bed or ended up in the charity shop, perhaps. So what are some eco-friendly gifts ideas for somebody who might be a little bit tricky to buy for, or you're not really sure what to get them, but you don't want to just get them something that they're not going to use and that they don't want? What are some sort of eco-friendly alternatives to those kind of gifts?
Yeah, I mean, this is a great point. I think the time I started to really be aware of the amount of gifts that you get that you don't really like, or you don't really know what you're supposed to do with, or as you said, just sit in your room, was actually when I was at university, because I would go away to university. I went in a different city to where I grew up in, and I'd come home every year for Christmas. And then I felt like every Christmas, the next one that I came home with, I'd find Christmas presents that had been there for a year that I didn't want, so I just left behind and were just sitting, and I thought, oh, that's a bit wasteful. So when I started to think about sustainable gifts, often it's actually just thinking about different ways of giving things. So it's just thinking outside the box. And often it's just trying to think of stuff that isn't stuff. That's the phrase I like to use, you know, gifts that aren't things. So, you know, examples are, you know, tickets for events. This year I've got my brother and sister-in-law and myself tickets to go and see, you know, a Scottish comedian next year. So that's their present from me. Things like, you know, concerts and gigs. And although we've still, you know, we're living in this world of COVID, you know, actually looking to the end of 2022 or 2023, or even some kind of online things, you know, tickets for stuff are great. Restaurant vouchers. I got my grandparents a £50 voucher and I'm going to take them out for a meal. But, you know, getting like restaurant vouchers or vouchers for local shops, you know, whether it's like a cafe, a deli, a zero waste shop, you know, all these kind of things, like vouchers for places that they might not have tried before, or e-vouchers for, of course, like online platform shops as well. Subscriptions are great. So whether that's something as simple as like a music app subscription, audiobook service, TV show platform, that kind of thing, or a cinema voucher, or even a voucher for like a newspaper, all that kind of stuff's great. And then of course you can get experience vouchers, you know, things that you could go and do together, whether it's something outdoors, something arty, or something different. And then you guess you can always go for the kind of classic charity donation on behalf of them, pick a charity they love or a cause that you think they'd be interested in. I guess I just try and think a little bit out the box with what I do, and just try and give something that's a bit different but still meaningful and, you know, individual to that person.
And it is really thoughtful, and things like restaurant vouchers and tickets, you get to spend time with that person as well, which is super nice. I was speaking to a few colleagues just before, and they were telling me that because of sight loss, they sometimes can feel excluded from sustainability and being environmentally friendly because of the lack of Braille on packaging. Do you have any advice for them if they're struggling to access the sustainable information to be able to recycle and things like that? And do you know if there's any talk of that improving?
I think there is. You know, this is a really great point. And actually, I think this is something that the sustainability movement as a whole has not been very good at. You know, when kind of talking about accessibility and inclusion in the past, I've been on this journey personally for, you know, over 4 years, but my academic background is in this, and it wasn't ever really something I had ever really been aware of or thought of in that sense. And I think that's been part of the problem. First of all, when you go into a supermarket, there are just so many different types of materials. It's unbelievable. So many different types of plastic. And I think the next thing that we need to be talking about is how we identify, how everyone is able to identify that stuff. You know, I sometimes stand in front of my recycling bin holding a piece of packaging going, I have no idea where they're supposed to go to. And even, you know, looking up online, it can be really difficult. And I think that we do need to embrace different types of labelling, different types of packaging to kind of make people aware of what it's made of and how to dispose of it, but also bringing accessibility in with Braille. I think there's two things that have kind of come up, which I think are going to really improve this. One of them is actually Scottish specific, but I hope it's something that gets rolled out wider. And it's a great online tool. It doesn't solve all the problems, but one of the things I think it solves is a lot of confusion for everyone around where packaging and where materials go. And it's an organisation called Zero Waste Scotland, which is a sort of off branch of the Scottish government, who created an online recycling sorter tool, which has been brilliant because all you need to do is pop in your postcode and it gives you everything, like a big list of everything that can and cannot be recycled and what bin you're supposed to put it in. But to your point about, you know, specific examples when you're physically holding something, not sure where to put it in, I think that is when we need to bring in extra help to put more stuff on the packaging. I guess one place I'd love to kind of turn people to is there's a big consultation that's actually happening right now. And so it's a consultation that is on single-use plastics, and it's looking at, you know, banning them. And it's looking at the ones that are kind of most commonly littered. But the good thing that they've done is they've opened up a big consultation. And if you just, you know, search online for single-use plastics consultation England, you'll get up the website to do it. And it's open all the way up until, I think it's the middle of February. And one of the good things is this is an opportunity to speak directly to the English government, but, you know, directly into, you know, the kind of people in power for this stuff and have our voices heard. Because what's great about this is it gives us the chance to say, oh my goodness, yes, of course we agree that, you know, pointless single-use plastic items, you know, ones that, you know, really shouldn't be around, you know, shouldn't be around. But it also gives lots of space to add suggestions for how we move forward. And I think that's the really important thing about particularly people who are going to be impacted by moving towards more sustainable options. It's their chance to say, well, actually, here's my experience and some of the things that I would find helpful. And this is something that would bring different communities on with us. And I think, for example, like adding Braille to different types of packaging is an absolutely fabulous idea. And the more and more we put these kind of ideas into consultation, hopefully the more likely they are to become a reality.
Where can we find out about that consultation? And also, where can we find out about you and keep up to date with everything that you're doing on social media and things like that?
So the consultation, the official website will be on the kind of gov.uk one. And it's an open consultation called Single-Use Plastic, Banning the Supply of Commonly Littered Single-Use Plastic Items. It's what I call boring activism. Nobody finds it enjoyable answering a consultation. But actually, when you think about how many people actually do it, they have a lot of weight. You know, when you reply, they really do take it seriously. But I exist online as Less Waste Laura. And, you know, I'm kind of across social media and I've got a website and I do lots of stuff in the media. And so, yeah, come connect in. But also, I always think about where I exist online as a two-way street. So I also just love to learn from other people. And so if there's issues that you're passionate about or advice you have for me or things you want me to talk about, get in touch, because I love to kind of talk about all different types of, you know, the sustainability movement and bring loads of other people in to help make this movement better for everyone and, you know, easy for everyone to join in with.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for your time this morning. Have a lovely Christmas and a very happy new year. And thank you so much for your time. Thanks for joining us.
You too. Thanks so much.